Pakistan's new government considers asking for its largest ever bailout from the International Monetary Fund. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivian Nunes. Good morning. It's thought the new government in Pakistan will seek a rescue package worth between $10 and $12 billion. But that could pose problems for incoming Prime Minister Imran Khan, as Charlie Robertson of Renaissance Capital explains.
The government's been spending a little bit too much. Part of the problem is that they're going through a big investment boom. And that's meant that they've been importing a lot of goods. Their exports, though, have been suffering because the currency, until late the end of last year, was too strong. The current account deficit was getting quite large. It hit 6% of GDP in the last fiscal year. The currency's devalued by about 25% in the last 7 or 8 months. And it still hasn't stopped the erosion of foreign exchange reserves.
Now, the new leader, Imran Khan, has campaigned strongly on reducing poverty in Pakistan and building an Islamic welfare state. But if he does secure this bailout from the IMF, it's going to come with conditions, isn't it? He won't be able to spend perhaps as much as he'd like to.
It's going to be a real problem. I mean, the IMF prescription for an economy which has got, if you like, too much domestic demand is to cut that domestic demand. Well, the easiest way for the government to do it is to cut spending. But Imran Khan wants to increase spending on health and education, which are laudable long-term goals, of course. And in fact, we think that Pakistan's most urgent need is to increase literacy. An adult literacy rate of 70%, if you haven't got that, you can't industrialise. If you can't industrialise, you can't build the manufacturing export base you need to be able to avoid these future current account problems. So I think they do need to boost spending. They do need to boost an adult literacy campaign. And yet the IMF is going to say you need to probably cut spending. And that, I think, is going to be a real challenge for a guy who's never been in power before at a national level.
Charlie Robertson. Let's do the numbers. Global market focus shifts from earnings to central banks. The Bank of Japan kicks things off with its policy meeting today as speculation swirls about possible tweaks to its stimulus program. In what's seen as the latest blow to Brexit, German banking giant Deutsche Bank says it has shifted nearly half of its euro clearing activities from London to Frankfurt to, quote, minimise risk. The bank says the shift hasn't yet resulted in staff being moved. Two of the world's largest gambling businesses have come together to take advantage of the newly opened sports betting market in the US. MGM Resorts and British firm GVC Holdings will each invest an initial $100 million in the venture. The BBC's Will Bain has more.
As soon as the Supreme Court effectively fired the starting gun in May, there's been a mad rush to get into what is undoubtedly going to be a hugely lucrative market for the betting firms. As the court overturned legislation banning gambling on sports in most states, the industry's biggest players and newcomers alike were working out how to get some skin in the newly opened game. And industry players don't get much bigger than the two have decided to team up here. MGM Resorts owns some of Las Vegas's most recognisable casino names, including the Bellagio and the MGM Grand, whilst British firm GVC Holdings own betting giants Coral and Ladbrokes. With much more relaxed European gambling laws, both Ladbrokes and Coral have been staples of British towns for decades with their betting shops, but perhaps more crucially here, come with knowledge and experience both of running online betting platforms and betting apps for phones. What potential regulation will look like for the sector remains up in the air, but what is for sure is that these companies are likely to be the first of many looking to get involved. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
Investors have cheered the news. GVC shares are the FTSE 100's biggest gainer, up 5%. To India now, where female participation in the workforce stands at just 27%. Part of the problem is that long-standing cultural beliefs mean women are encouraged to stay in the home. But during a recent trip to the country, I discovered attitudes in the city of Jaipur are changing, thanks to a team of female rickshaw drivers. I'm bumping along down one of the main avenues of Jaipur, and either side of the street are the very famous terracotta-coloured buildings that this city is famous for. And as we go along, many of the riders on motorcycles or other rickshaw drivers are taking a look at our driver because I'm not sure they've seen many female drivers before. The strict cultural norms that govern Indian society initially made it difficult to recruit female drivers. Radhika Kumari works for the development agency that founded the Pink City Rickshaw Company.
We had very few takers initially because driving a rickshaw was completely male-dominated. No women drove. So a lot of the ladies were very hesitant in trying this because they were very worried what their community would say, what their families would say.
After upending their own ideas of what women can and can't do, the drivers took their e-rickshaws to the streets, but were met with further prejudice.
Once the women started training or started taking tours, a lot of the men started trying to cause accidents. They would catcall, they would pass comments to say why you want to do something we're already doing, you know. So there was a lot of resistance from them.
But the women persevered, and now there are 50 female drivers working as tour guides, and they're being encouraged to buy into the company itself.
We want to build that into a profitable company so that it's sustainable. 30 out of the 50 women who've been trained have put in equity. Our next step is going to be trying to get them onto the board so that it becomes their company.
Like all the drivers of the Pink City Rickshaw Company, my guide Pushpa is from one of Jaipur's urban slums. She says her new role has allowed her to experience the city's tourist attractions for the first time.
When I first started, I didn't know any of the roads. I'd get lost. But now I know all of them. And when I'm driving, people say, look, look, there's a woman driving a rickshaw.
The Pink City Rickshaw Company plans to expand to other Indian tourist centres like Udaipur and Agra. More women in the driving seat of low-polluting vehicles like these can only be a good thing. Don't forget, our podcast is always available wherever you download yours. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.